Chapter 7. The Explosion. The next day, my family and I had breakfast together. Dad was reading the local paper, and suddenly he looked at us and said, "Listen to this. Police looking for drug ring in Silver Lake area." "Drugs in this quiet area?" asked Mom. "That's hard to believe." "I'm also surprised," Dad answered. "This isn't the obvious place for criminals. The only criminals you hear about are the ghosts in Devlin's house." "What do you know about that, Dad?" I asked, innocently. "No more than anyone else," he answered. "The criminal Devlin lived next door, and he was killed by his enemies. There are also some rumors about treasure. But who knows what's true?" Dad's story was much shorter and less scary than Richie's version. Mom changed the subject. "Do you boys want to learn how to water ski?" she asked. "I saw a sign near the lake. They give water skiing lessons there." I thought for a minute. I wasn't looking for more adventures at the moment, and water skiing with my family was a good way to stay safe. "Yes, I want to learn, Mom. That's a great idea," I said. "I also want to learn," said John, not wanting to miss the fun. "Great," Dad said. "I've got to go into town first, but when I return, we'll go water skiing." It was a perfect day. John and I spent most of the morning playing with a ball, swimming in the lake, and talking about our first water skiing lesson. But our plans were going to change. While we were sitting on the beach, we suddenly heard an explosion. In the distance, on the lake, a motorboat was on fire. "Mom, come quickly," I shouted. "Oh no," Mom said, seeing the boat. She ran into the house and phoned the police. John and I followed her. "Hello, this is Sherry Marks," she said quickly. "I live at 48 Lakeside Drive. A boat is on fire in the middle of the lake." We could hear the loud voice of the policeman at the other end of the phone. "Thank you for calling, ma'am," he said. "We've sent a boat there already. Don't worry." "Okay, then. Thank you," Mom said. She put the phone down, and we all went outside again. "Did you see what happened with the boat?" Mom asked. "Yes, Mom," John answered. "We ran to the water to see what was happening." Soon, three police boats arrived, and a policeman jumped into the water. After a few seconds, the policeman reappeared and shook his head. Then he disappeared under the water again. We tried to watch the policeman, but one of the boats moved in front of him, and we couldn't see anything. "He can't find anyone, can he?" John said. "I don't know," said Mom. "What a terrible accident." A few minutes later, the police started to put something into a big black bag. "Maybe there's a body in the lake," I said. "Yuck," said John. "I'm not swimming today." "Don't worry," Mom said. "The police will check very carefully." We all returned to the house, and John and I started to play backgammon. We were both very quiet. We didn't want water skiing lessons now. It was the wrong time for that. Silver Lake, with its criminals, signals, and exploding boats, wasn't a normal vacation place. My parents weren't very rich, and it wasn't easy for them to buy this cabin, so we were going to come here many times in the future. Richie, Leo, and I had to solve the mysteries of Silver Lake, because I didn't want a vacation like this every year. That evening, after supper, Richie and Leo came to see me. Everyone was talking about the explosion. Even Dad heard about the accident when he was in town. "I'm going out with my friends, okay?" I said to Dad. "Yes, but stay near here," Dad said. "And be home by 9 o'clock, Mom said. John was tired and didn't want to come with us. "Did you really see the boat explode?" Richie asked. "Yes, we did," I answered. "You're so lucky," Richie said. "I've never seen anything explode."
"Maybe it was the boat," Leo said.
"What do you think?"
Richie looked at him, surprised. "You mean the boat in the boathouse?" he asked.
"Yes," said Leo.
"Well, it's too dark to go to the boathouse now," I said. Yes, you're right, said Richie. Let's go tomorrow morning. But the next morning, Mom destroyed our plans for adventure. You boys have had nearly 2 weeks of fun and games, and that's enough, Mom said in her best teacher voice. You have to start doing your summer homework in the mornings. Soon, the summer will be finished, and then it will be too late. Oh, Mom, we don't like to work in the mornings, I said. Even during the school year, we do our homework in the afternoons when we get home from school. You'll work much better in the mornings, Mom said. Don't worry. If you do your work now, you'll be able to have great fun when we go to your cousins in Boston at the end of the vacation. Later, I told Richie about my problem. Richie also had to do some of his homework every day, but he could do it at any time. Leo's school didn't give summer homework. He was very lucky. We changed our plans and decided to go to the boathouse in the evening. At exactly 6 o'clock, we met outside the cabin. Again, we walked quietly to the house next door, hiding behind the big trees. When we arrived at the boathouse, Richie took out a flashlight and shone it on the path. There was even more trash on the ground than the last time, and the covered boat was still there. We started to walk inside, but suddenly, someone caught Richie's arm and said, "Now, what have we got here?" "Ah!" we all shouted. The man holding Richie was not the scary man from the bay on the other side of the lake. This man was thin, and he had dark hair and a dirty beard. He was wearing a black jacket and a lot of silver jewelry. "What are you boys doing on my property?" he shouted. I was trembling, but I tried to answer. "We didn't know anyone lived here," I said. "Really, we didn't know," Richie said. Leo was braver than Richie and me. "This was Jack Devlin's house," he said. "It isn't anyone's property now." "Is that right?" asked the man, pulling Leo's ear until he shouted in pain. "Well, you little troublemakers, who sent you here?" he asked, taking a large knife from his pocket and walking in my direction. "No one sent us," I said nervously. I was surprised I could still talk. "Well, that's what you say," he said. He waved the knife in the air, and then he pointed it at us, laughing. We could smell alcohol, and he was obviously drunk. But he wasn't too drunk to be dangerous. We were all trembling. "Okay, troublemakers, I'll let you go if you never come back," he said. "And don't think about talking to the police, or even telling your parents. If I ever discover that you talk to someone, I'll come and cut out your tongues." Then he waved the knife in the air again. "We won't tell. We promise," I said. "Good. Now go home and don't come back," the man shouted. We ran as fast as we could until we came to the bungalows. "Let's go to my house," said Leo. "We'll be safe there." We followed Leo to his house and went quickly to his bedroom. Leo closed the door, and we all sat on the bed. "What should we do?" I asked. "You heard the man," Richie said. "We can't tell anyone."
"But I'd live next door to him," I shouted. "What am I going to do now? He might see me and recognize me."
"Shh! My parents will hear you," Leo said. "He won't do anything to you if you keep quiet. This has to be our secret." We agreed to keep quiet and decided to meet in the evenings, far from my cabin, at the bungalows. We continued talking for a long time, but finally I decided to leave. I walked home slowly and entered the cabin. Dad was sitting on the sofa reading the newspaper. When he saw me, he stopped reading and said, "We told you to come home at 9 o'clock. I looked at him. I could see that he wasn't very angry. "Am I late?" I asked, surprised. "What time is it?" 9:30, he answered. "This is the last time you come home late, Eddie. Do you understand?" "Yes, Dad, I'm sorry, I said. Okay, he said. Now go and have some cocoa and cookies with your mother and John. I went into the kitchen, but I couldn't eat.
You don't look well, Eddie, Mom said. You should go to bed early tonight.
Yes, Mom, I will, I answered. I didn't want to stay near Mom. She could always see when I was worried about something, and I didn't want to answer too many questions. I took my warm cup of cocoa and went to the big window to look at the stars. Suddenly, I saw it, another signal from across the lake. At first, I was very excited, but then I remembered the last scary incident. It was time to stop being detectives and to become ordinary kids again. I walked away from the window and went to my room. An early night was a wonderful idea.